Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Welcome back. Speak of the Devil.
Speak of the Devil.
Cog and Chugs.
You always do that.
What? Yeah.
Speak of the Devil.
I know, I was hesitating to do it.
You sound like a pirate.
Speak of the Devil.
Cog and Chugs, favorite and only podcast. Today, we'll be talking about the highly anticipated
Avengers Endgame.
Avengers Endgame.
The end of all the games?
Just a quick spoiler warning before we get into things, because, like, we're not gonna have any filter on it because
it's Endgame.
Yeah, because it's a hard movie to talk about if you do it. So
it's past that week. What, like, the Russo brothers, the directors?
The spoiler ban.
Yeah, there's like a week long spoiler ban.
Mm-hmm. We're definitely past that because it's May 16th today. The movie came out on April 26th. So if you haven't seen Endgame or previous MCU movies and you intend to do so, you should probably stop listening. Instead, why don't you check out some of our other podcast episodes, like maybe Black Klansman or Vice from our Oscar season.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into it. Avengers Endgame was released on April 26th, 2019. It's rated PG-13 for sequences of sci-fi violence and action in some language. It's sort of an inside joke. Captain America language, you know. It's 182 minutes long, super long movie. It's three hours and 2 minutes long. And honestly, there were parts of the movie where it felt like they could have made it longer.
True.
It's just like every other Avengers movie. Let's start with 45 minutes of introduction.
Yep.
Shout out Colin Jost.
It's got a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes and a B- on AV Club. I think before we start talking about the actual movie, an important thing to talk about is how much money it made.
It's the highest grossing movie right now.
Right now, as of recording this, May 16th, it's made $2.5 billion worldwide.
Wow, that's almost as much as The Grinch.
So it's second right now, which Colin said, behind Avatar.
Yeah.
Avatar made 2.7.
2.7. We're actually...
So we're...
We're in the end game now.
Side note, you guys heard Avatar is pushed back another year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, what? A sequel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I heard an interesting thing in an article that maybe Disney doesn't want Endgame to surpass Avatar, because if Disney's releasing an Avatar sequel, there's a lot more hype behind it if it's the sequel to the highest grossing movie of all time.
They can literally advertise it as that.
So I thought that was an interesting point.
They make a decent movie, like, you know, because they'll spend more time on it, or they're just going to rush it and then make a bunch of money for a really garbage movie.
It is kind of weird that they're making a sequel 10 years later to a movie that people kind of liked.
I never watched it.
It was okay.
I don't understand why it was so popular.
I don't either. But I think I was talking to somebody the other day, and one thing that I realized was, and why Avatar might do better at the box office, is because for Endgame, yeah, sure, it's super popular, but it also requires that buy-in of knowing about the Marvel movies.
True.
Like, you sort of have to understand the universe. But with Avatar, it's just got my 3D IMAX tickets. I have no idea what this is about. I'm just going to sit there for 2.5 hours and enjoy myself.
Well, I still think Endgame did a pretty decent job, keeping it interesting for people who haven't seen every single movie. I haven't even seen every single movie.
Right.
But I haven't seen a lot of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Aiden hasn't seen a lot of them. But, honestly, the only important movie you should watch before Endgame is Infinity War.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely the most important.
Directly, a sequel.
Somebody asked me to make them a cheat sheet of the movies they should watch. And I said that the movies they should watch is the first Avengers, Captain America Civil War, and Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah.
And that's
that sounds about right.
That's that'll get you a good understanding. Maybe not every character, but
Captain America Civil War is basically an Avengers movie.
Yeah.
I don't know why they made it a Captain America movie, but whatever.
So yeah, and then other than this one making $2.5 billion, the MCU in general has made a ton of money. They are the highest grossing franchise of all time.
The MCU is the Marvel Cinematic Universe, by the way, in case you didn't know.
That's a good...
Want to clarify that.
Yeah, nice. So.
Nice.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
in,
but so,
in reference, if we're saying that, just for people that they know at home, we often talk about a lot of SNL and the Chad Pete Davidson series and his character. So.
Okay. There's your
reference of the day.
Reference of the day. So across the 22, oh my God, across the 22 movies of this franchise, they've made $20 billion at the box office. So that is more than Star Wars and Harry Potter combined.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how much money have they spent on making movies, or is that like how much money they got after?
I don't know that total. That's just box office. So like that doesn't take out. How much money went into it.
Right.
But for this movie, specifically for Endgame, it costs $356 million to make, which is the most expensive Marvel movie.
Wow.
Before that, I think
that it makes sense.
Before that, it was
they had to rent Thanos, so.
Before that, it was Black Panther.
Wait, Black, what, how much?
Black Panther costs $200 million.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, so. all their like main the main teams are used for Infinity War and Endgame. So it's like, you know, movies like Ant-Man and the Wasp and what was the other one that came out before? Nope. Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel. They did not put I wouldn't say effort is the right word, but, you know, like, comparatively, those movies are just, like, not nearly as monumental as Endgame.
No, definitely not. And I think it's important for Marvel to create that kind of contrast, because you can't have every movie be an Endgame. You know, you can't have every movie be this huge event. So I think it was important for them to, like, have the two movies before this one be, like, much smaller, grounded stories.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like I think about how the Star Wars trilogy kind of goes. Like, the new ones that come out, you'll have those, like, Solo is, like, an unrelated, like, kind of side note.
Yeah.
But then you have, like, obviously the main episodes that have everyone in them.
Yeah.
But Solo is kind of like that off, like, different thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like Marvel kind of does that in a different way, but a way better way, because they obviously have different superheroes. So they can make individual movies on each superhero.
And it all ends up being, like, completely over-arced. Like, even though, I guess, you could still say that with Star Wars, but it just feels more fitting.
The thing with Star Wars, and the only way it's different, is because they, like, changed, like, theirs don't, intersect as much.
Yeah, they're all over the place with that.
Which,
I know.
Well, because it's just a wider time period.
Yeah, more time and a wider universe, too.
Yeah.
And this was the first, I'd say, Marvel movie that was confusing with time.
Definitely.
Well, yeah, because the whole movie was about time.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, we could talk about.
Yeah, you want to talk about time travel real quick?
Yeah, I want to talk about Endgame time travel.
Which
I thought that was going to be, like, if they decided to go with time travel, I thought that was going to be really stupid. Which in, like, you know, still in context it is.
Yep.
But, like, not in out of context it is. But, like, when I actually watch the movie, I'm like, okay, you know what? They did a good job with that.
Yeah, I think if you make a movie about time travel, it's going to feel inherently messy.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you handle it as well as possible. Just because it's, like, a confusing concept and it's not real. So, like, it's hard for, like, us to, like, sort of, like, think about it and, like, in a grounded way because it's, like, completely made up.
Yeah, it's true.
And it, like, defies the laws of, like, our existence.
Yeah, seriously.
So, yeah, but it was good. It was weird how they talked about it. Like, when Bruce Banner broke, I don't know what we want to call him. I saw somebody call him Huffalo. Because he's, like, still Mark Ruffalo, but he's also the Hulk in this movie.
He's, like, the combination between the two.
Yeah, but, like, he said one thing in the first act where every movie about time travel was wrong. And how, like, when you... How when you time travel, your future becomes the past and your past becomes the future.
That felt super forced, honestly.
It was super confusing. It was also weird for them to talk about every movie you've seen about time travel is wrong, when we're watching a movie about time travel.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of, like, deconstructionist and sort of, like...
hypocritical.
I gotta tell you, I do love that they brought Back to the Future into it. Yeah. It's, like, one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, no, and that was a good reference.
I love that they made a reference to
it. Yeah, I could have used, like, maybe a joke about the flux capacitor or something. Yeah, that would be fun.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. I do that all the time with Tony Stark, like, always calls people certain things. Like, what did he call Thor when...
Point Break.
Point Break. Is that it?
Yeah.
There's one reference to, like, some old movie where when Thor got fat and stupid.
Oh, Big Lebowski.
Yeah, that's the one. Mm-hmm. They do this stuff all the time. And
Yeah.
Just, like, over time, they kind of created their own personality, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. It's pretty cool.
If that makes sense.
Thor's character is really interesting.
Thor was interesting. He was funny.
Yeah.
I just love the memes that I saw after. Like, I saw one where it's Fat Thor, and it goes, "I told myself I'd have a body like Thor one day, and now I do." I just thought, like,
I saw that.
Yeah, that's funny. Think, like, there were so many funny, like, a lot of people found it very, like, amusing, like, the irony. Like,
yeah.
As compared to, like, past movies.
Yeah, Thor and the Hulk, they sort of, like, took the pre-established, like, characters and just subverted them.
Yeah.
So, like, you took Hulk, who's... literal whole thing is that he's got, like, these dual personalities, and, like, sometimes he's Bruce Banner and sometimes he's the Hulk, and they're fighting for control. And then in this one is just like, nope, he combined them, it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of bothered me, because, like, I understand why they needed him to be that way in the movie, because they needed him to, like, fight and also, like, be smart for some scenes, but it was, like, for convenience pretty much.
I think it made his character look a lot, like, more selfish, too, because even, like, that scene in the diner where he's like, oh, picture with the Hulk.
Yeah.
He kind of wanted everyone to recognize him, and he wanted the fame.
Yeah.
It was still kind of a funny scene,
though.
Yeah, no, I liked it, but, like, I'm just saying.
Well, because there is, like, selfish. There is, like, when he is Bruce Banner, you can sense, like, a kind of jealousy.
Yeah.
And, like, a feeling of, like, being unworthy, because, like, the Hulk is the one that solves problems, and even though Bruce Banner, like, is this super smart guy, they don't really appreciate that aspect of him.
So. Yeah, I mean, they could have done a little bit more with that one scene where he's talking to the chick from... was she from Doctor Strange? I didn't see that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could have done a little bit more with that, but he mostly was just, like, describing what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Instead of...
Right, it was exposition.
Yeah, it was just exposition. There was really nothing to his character there.
It was, I did like that scene just because...
it was cool.
It was cool that we got to see the Avengers 1 fight from, like, a different perspective. And, like, now that we know that, like, that character was there, and, like, the Doctor Strange universe kind of thing, like, those people were there. Yeah, it feels interconnected. So
that's another really cool thing that they did.
Yeah.
It was just like in Back to the Future when, like, I don't know, you have those little loose ends that you don't see, but then you see when they go back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of cool how they brought the same
thing. It definitely, like, makes the universe feel bigger, especially when you see, like, characters from, like when they went back to the 1970, like, military base, and you get to see...
That was probably one of my favorite...
I really liked that.
...locations for the film.
I thought that scene was super fun, and you had sort of, like, the heartstrings moment with Tony and his dad. And I thought that was one of the better scenes.
It's just been a lot smoother than I thought it was going to.
Yeah.
It kind of made it more interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the whole point of Avengers, just a collaboration of all these different icons from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Sorry, I'm getting a little distracted here by somebody in the window.
I think it's Tanner.
Is that Tanner? Can somebody tell him?
Thank you. I waved him away. Oh, my God.
See, this is what happens.
Yeah, we got to find a new recording location. Less windows.
Do you want to just jump into ratings here?
Yeah,
just,
okay, yeah. Okay. We're kind of derailed.
Yeah, we kind of... well, I mean, I wouldn't say derail is the right word, but we kept going on just, like...
well, I think that's what we got to do.
So. Yeah, that's what we got to do to keep this interesting.
Yeah, so I'll start.
Okay.
And so for this movie...
just don't have Colin start.
Yeah.
I actually have my ratings. Sorry, I had them before Hayden.
That is true.
So,
for this movie, we did two different types of ratings. We have our traditional Speak of the Devil rating system, production, storytelling, casting. And then since we felt like that type of rating didn't truly reflect, like, what this movie was trying to be, because it's a superhero movie and it's like... After 11 years of superhero movies. So... we also made a Marvel movie rating that sort of gets into the more...
It builds on our own writing after that.
So I'll start with...
Do you want to say what they are first? Like section just before
so,
we jump
So
in?
Our Marvel movie rating has 7 categories. It has production, storytelling, and casting, just like our initial rating.
Mm-hmm. Out of 10.
Yep. And then it has 4 more categories out of 5. So those categories are fan service, which is like the things that the movie does to sort of show like, hey, the fans are going to appreciate this.
Yeah.
So like the scene
it's
when Captain,
the end of
like something
Avengers.
From a comic book or from a previous MCU movie. So that's like maybe like Captain America picking up the shield. You could say every time travel scene when they went back to a past movie was fan service in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next rating or the next category is extended continuity. So that's how well this movie picks up after all the other movies.
Mm-hmm.
How well it like continues the timeline that they've created.
The saga.
Yeah, exactly. And then the next rating is future film setup. So like what like pathways, what doors does this movie open? What doors does it close?
Yeah, because this isn't the end of
the MCU.
Marvel.
Yeah.
It's the end of Avengers, but
exactly.
It's not
yeah.
the end of
And so how well does this movie timeline. Set up future movies? And then the last rating is action set pieces. So that's just like action scenes.
Yeah, I almost think that deserves more points, but at the same time, it's like, it's, I don't know, everything else. I think it balances out pretty well at 50 points overall.
So I think we'll start with our regular ratings.
Yeah, do you
want
to
And then we'll loop back to the Marvel movie ratings.
That sounds good.
So for my traditional Speak the Devil rating system, I gave production an 8 out of 10. I thought the score was kind of forgettable, and some of the shots looked kind of, like, ugly, which I think they're getting better at, but, like, some of them were just not good. Like, I felt like the final battle was just, like, kind of ugly looking and, like, kind of drab, and I feel like they could have done that better. Like, there could have been just, like, a better location or something like that, because it was just, like, kind of ugly looking. And then sort of some of the back-in-time scenes looked kind of ugly, too. Anyway. Yeah, but then storytelling, I gave a 7 out of 10 because there was just so much. And there were a few decisions, or which I can get into now or later, that I would have changed.
Oh, yeah.
But
we'll get into that.
Yeah, but so the thing about storytelling was just there was just so much, and there were some characters that they developed in, like, ways that I thought were, like, not very fitting of that character. And then... Yeah, and it's just... There were just, like, a few, like, storylines that I just didn't like and felt, like, out of place. Like, I talked about the Hulk one already.
Thor.
The Thor was weird. And, yeah, just a few things just didn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Iron Man and Captain America were both, like, great in this movie.
Well, because it was their...
It was kind of their...
Last time
yeah, their
screen.
Farewell.
Meanwhile, for the Hulk and Thor, I'm pretty sure they're going to be seen again.
Yeah.
Well, I'm actually not crazy sure about Hulk. But
He will, for he sure. Will. But I'm just wondering in what capacity, because...
How far can they go with this?
Yeah,
I really don't
seriously.
Know.
Seriously. Well, I mean,
well,
they're going to have... As Guardians of the Galaxy, I guess it's going to be called.
Yeah, they've shown it, obviously, with Scarlet... Scarlett Johansson. I almost said Scarlet Witch. with Scarlett Johansson, Robert Downey Jr., and Chris Evans, that, like, they need to get rid of these people after a little bit. Like,
well, the thing is, like, with any show, like, I remember even back in the day watching iCarly, it's like, one day they're gonna have to move on.
They're
gonna get
older. It's,
Like, how far
not
can
exist
Avengers
anymore.
Really go?
Right. Yeah, and so...
How many Thanoses can they be?
Yeah, so, like, eventually, and I think they're starting to do this, they're gonna have to bring in, like, a new class of characters. So, I think that'll be interesting. Yep, but, finally, for casting... my rating's a 10 out of 10. I think, like, there isn't... And obviously most of these characters come from, like, other movies that they were cast in. But the director of casting, I can't remember her name, but she's casted every MCU movie. And, like, she does an amazing job. Like, there's not a single character that I would change.
I get that.
Yeah. So, with my production being an 8 out of 10, and my storytelling being a 7 out of 10, and my casting being a 10 out of 10, that makes my overall rating a 25 out of 30, or an 83%.
All right. Do you want me to go?
Okay.
Okay.
No, I'll go, so Colin can steal our rating.
All right, go ahead.
Go ahead. Actually, no, you're probably not going to. All right, so production, I went 9 out of 10. Because although it wasn't, like, anything crazy, I think it was what it needed to be. Because, like, I mean, at least I'm not a big Marvel guy. I'll start off by saying that in my ratings, so everyone knows for these ratings. But I think, like, as a non-Marvel guy, like, I kind of expected it to be that superhero. Like, everyone's like, oh, wow, all these connections. So I kind of expected that. So I didn't really think that the production and, like, the anything would be crazy. Like, the soundtrack, like, it all just fit, I think. And I think that's the biggest thing, is if you distract the viewer with too much crazy editing and too much crazy visuals, like, I think it's going to take away from the story. So I think they did a good job of just kind of keeping everyone in, but not making it too crazy.
Yeah, keeping it mellow.
Yeah, with a movie like this, you don't want to take, like, too many risks.
Yeah, so, like, that's why I kind of respected the choice of kind of basic production there. Storytelling, 9, because it's kind of what I expected and what I didn't expect, because it kept me like, oh, I hope they do this. And if you ever find yourself in a movie like, oh, wow, I hope they succeed, like, that's when I know I'm kind of, like, enjoying
invested,
it.
Invested, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm invested into it. So definitely a 9 out of 10 there. And casting, 9 out of 10, because as Aiden said, like, there was pretty much everyone was exactly where I wanted them to be. And I thought that it was a good fit. It's just a few of the scenes kind of bugged me, but yeah, I think it was pretty good. So overall, that's a 27 out of 30, which is a 90.
All right, now it's my turn. I gave, this might be a little controversial, I gave production a 10 out of 10, which was, like, I was thinking, you know, there's a lot that could have been improved on here, right? Like you said, like, the final battle scene was really really bland, which I think I kind of, the only reason why I kind of accepted it is because, you know, this is the end of Avengers, and they just, in the final battle scene, it's literally under the rubble of the Avengers headquarters, which I thought was pretty cool.
Symbolic, yeah.
And admittedly, they could have made it look a little cooler, but it was just like, the scale of this movie, really, that's what kind of gave it a 10 out of 10 for me. It's not even for the fact that they could have improved on whatever they had. It was more like, I just thought it was super impressive.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, the animation usually bothers me during Marvel movies. There's this one scene in Spider-Man Homecoming, I think, where, like, Peter, he's in the Spider-Man suit, and he's, like, moving around like a normal person, but they completely CGI'd him. Yeah. And to me, I was just like, that's so unnecessary. Why do they do that? Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, there's just something to this scale. Little things like that don't bother me. Mm-hmm. Just, it's like, I don't know. I thought it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, and when you, one second.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
When you speak on the scale, this was a 6-month shoot.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a...
That's a lot of time.
Yeah, that's a lot. Like, that's a long filming process. And, like, it makes sense when you have so many, like, moving pieces and, like, people to be on screen. And then the other thing that's, like, super impressive about this was that in order to make these movies come out only a year apart, like, it was literally, like, one came out April 25th and one came out, like, April 26th. So, like, it was, like, super close. They had to shoot the movies back to back.
Yeah, Infinity War.
Yeah, so they couldn't wait for the reaction of, like, people's reaction to Infinity War to shoot Endgame, which I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of mind-blowing to me that, like, so many people could come together and make something like this.
Right.
Not saying it's the best movie of all time, but I think it's, like, it's a...
It's impressive.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's like a milestone.
It doesn't feel rushed either.
Yeah.
No. That's the thing, like, I don't know, you would expect it a year later coming out and, like, the last film to kind of be exactly like what it is, and that's...
They were very meticulous. Yeah. Meticulous? I don't
meticulous,
know.
Yeah.
Whatever. They cared about this. I think that's a big thing for me, too. It shows that they all cared about this thing.
Right.
That they created. And it's less about how... I don't know. How well it was produced.
Right, and I think, like, about the care thing, like, you've got people that have worked on previous movies that, one, know the tone and know how to make these movies, but two, like, sort of have, like, the understanding of how to, like, continue what they've already done. So, like, Kevin Feige obviously produced this one. He's produced every Marvel movie. But, like, having the Russos, the Russo brothers, back to direct, I think was definitely an important thing, because with a movie this big, you don't want to, like, start with a new director, because they're going to feel lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, I think they did a really good job.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're going to have to next time.
Yeah, yeah, true. I don't think it's going to, I mean, I don't know, but I don't think it's going to get any better than this, in my opinion, for Marvel.
I don't think it's going to get any better for a long time.
Yeah, for a long time.
Or if someone else does something better, but I think this is going to be probably the best superhero movie for a while.
Yeah, or at least, like, the biggest superhero
movie. Yeah, definitely the biggest.
Like, I don't know if best is the right word, because, you know, like, Dark Knight is super popular. It's, like, the best movie.
A quick thing on Dark Knight. It is, like, technically probably the best, but the thing about it is, like, it's not a superhero movie in the same way that something like this is.
Well, it's an allegory for American history.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, and it's also, it's just like, not really about Batman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's ever. More about
Batman happens
terrorism
to
in the U.S. Yeah. Then.
Yep. Dark Knight's about terrorism, the war on terror, and then Dark Knight Rises is about income inequality. So, like,
yeah, it's more like those. While Endgame just kind of stands for superhero movies as a whole.
Yeah. It's like, we are superheroes. Yeah.
It's just,
I am Fat Thor. Like, that's what it is.
That's what this movie is.
Yeah, pretty
much. It's entertainment.
Like, yeah, absolutely. Right. When I was watching this movie, like, I just, like, especially during the final fight scene, I'm like, this is so stupid, but I love this.
Yeah, like for example, when Captain America picks up Thor's hammer, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm like, this is ridiculous, but I also love it so much.
All right, I thought that was kind of stupid the first time, but the second time I kind
of
liked
it. I thought, is Loki worthy of grabbing the hammer thing?
No.
Probably not.
No,
okay,
not.
Well, I thought he was, right?
Yeah.
So when I'm watching that part, and just before in the time travel scene, Loki, like, turned into Captain America. So I was like, oh my god, it's Loki the entire time.
Yeah.
And my mind was about to be blown, and then they didn't do that, and I was just like,
oh no, Captain America's just worthy.
Like, I was about to be so hyped, because that would have been such a cool twist.
Well, like, one thing about that, like, interested me was that, like, in Age of Ultron, he tries to pick it up, and he can't. Like, he makes it move, like, a little bit, but can't pick it up.
Yeah.
So, like, what did he do in that time to make himself, like, more worthy? Because, like, all he did was become a, like, enemy of the state.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But I don't know. He stood up for what he thought was right, so I guess maybe that.
Paul Rudd a sandwich.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong. All right, yeah, we've kind of strayed from this for a while.
Yeah, get back to your reading.
Storytelling. 8 out of 10. I don't know, like, I felt it was good for what it was, but it just felt a little sloppy, in my opinion. Compared to Infinity War, at least, I thought this movie was, like, I don't know, it was well-paced, but it was less interesting throughout the entire thing. Does that make sense? I mean, I was still, like, invested, because it was, like,
once
the end of the
saga. Once
the
time travel start is, like, when the movie started,
I agree with that.
Because it starts off pretty slow. It had I thought it started off very well with Hawkeye and his family being dusted. I thought
that was
really
cool. Yeah.
Oh, I have a alternate
we'll get into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, what was it? I thought, like, the Ant-Man thing. At first, I thought it was kind of weird how he just kind of drops in out of nowhere. But I kind of like the concept of him, being like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, because you kind of, we don't really get, like, a real understanding of, like, the dusting, I guess we'll call it,
mm-hmm.
until we see it through his perspective.
Yeah.
You know?
Because it's kind of like,
seen it for the first time.
Yeah, the 5 years later thing, that's what really got me. That really bothers me, because now
wasn't expecting it.
No, there's more like the Marvel Cinematic Universe is now in 2023.
Yeah, that bothers me a lot too,
really
actually.
It's really weird.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to mess it up somehow.
Because this entire time, for most of the time, we've had like this set of movies take place in modern times, whatever, which is like, but they're playing Fortnite in 2023.
Yeah, that worries me.
I was thinking, like, what is happening, dude?
How much different is 2023 going to be, though?
That's what I'm thinking.
I know.
It's going
to
be really,
looking back
really
to the
bizarre.
Future, they thought 2019 was going to be flying cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like, the one thing that changed when you saw, like, the future was the cars. Like, that was the one thing. Because, like...
Oh.
Did you see, like...
Yeah, I told you about this.
One of them drove, like, a super crazy-looking Audi.
Oh, wait. Okay. I'm thinking of something different. Oh. No, I was just thinking... there's this one scene that I thought was actually pretty cool. Scene? I don't even know. Right after the 5 years later thing.
Yep.
Like, it pans over the... I don't know what baseball field it was.
City field, I think.
Was it City field?
Yeah.
There was a bunch of cars just, like, in a... I guess in a parking lot.
In
a parking lot, like, super unorganized.
Yeah.
Clearly showing, like, a post-apocalyptic, like, whatever. Yeah, right. I thought that was really cool. Like, it added a lot to the...
And having the Statue of Liberty with all the boats, too.
Yeah.
Was cool.
World building, that's the word.
Yeah.
It had very good world building, I'll give it that.
That was good, but I thought, in general, they didn't show enough of the outside world after the snap. Like I just felt it. Like it didn't feel. It didn't feel real.
Yeah.
Like have like somebody have to travel into like, because I think we're supposed to believe that Avengers headquarters is in upstate New York.
Something like that.
Because in Homecoming, the end with the plane, they're flying it from New York City to upstate, to the new Avengers facility. So I think we're supposed to believe that it's there, but like, have them travel into the city for something.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know how they would do it, but they're just, like, it doesn't feel real enough.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, another reason why the Ant-Man scenes before he gets to the Avengers headquarters, they were, like, pretty interesting to see. And then, like, once we get to the headquarters, it's like, all right, time for more talky-talk before the time travel starts. And then casting, 9.5 out of 10. I was heavily debating, like, a 10 out of 10.
That's, like, one thing.
It felt really, like, good, but something, I don't know. Like, it just didn't feel perfect to me.
Right.
I don't know why, but the one who's, I don't even know what his name is. The dude who's, like, going to be the new Captain America.
Falcon is his name in the game.
That's what I'm saying.
His actor name is Anthony Mackie.
I know I haven't seen any
There's
of, like,
a few.
Like, where did that guy come from?
He was just a first like, in Winter Soldier, then he was in Civil War,
and then he was in
Infinity War.
Red Lady at the final fight.
Scarlet Witch.
Who is this? Yeah, I know. For a while, I was thinking that. Only in that final fight, I thought she was like, all right, she's kind of cool again, but, like...
Yeah.
During Infinity War, I thought she was really stupid. Not even gonna lie.
Yeah.
I didn't even know who she was.
So. Yeah. She's kind of annoying in Infinity
War.
She was,
what's his face?
Vision's girlfriend. Yeah.
Who was originally Jarvis. It's a whole thing. There's just a few, like, things where I'm just like, what is happening?
Yeah.
But,
I was like, oh, hey.
So that, that's a, 91.
It's pretty good.
I forgot.
I feel like this is like the first time that I've had the lowest rating out of the three of us.
Yeah, I think so.
Which is weird because I didn't expect to enjoy this movie.
Yeah. All right, so you want to get into Marvel movie ratings now?
Yeah.
My Marvel movie rating's a little bit higher.
We can move by in this one a little bit faster, too.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of time on mine.
So, my what's it called are the same. My production, storytelling, and casting rating are the same.
Kept them.
Yeah,
okay, we all kept those the same.
But then for fan service, I gave it a 5 out of 5. I thought there were like a bunch of awesome scenes and interactions and
do you
like
want to go one by one on each.
Oh, yeah,
I like that.
Yeah.
Like
so
that.
I totally agree. Also gave it a 5.
Gave it a 5 out of 5.
Cuz like not only was there like just like a lot of really cool moments, but they also like called back to films a lot, older films a lot, so like the time travel is like the biggest example of that. Like this movie was essentially like sort of like reflecting on all of the previous movies
to show off all the
past work. Mm-hmm. And so and there was also just like a ton of lines that like were referencing previous movies.
Oh yeah, like I could do this all day.
I could do this all day is from Captain America.
Cap's like, I know, I know.
That part's funny. That's and then so like you've got Hawkeye and Black Widow going to
that planet. Did you guys watch
that
interview with the Russo brothers about the lines? I forgot what it's called.
Stop scraping whatever you're scraping on the bottom of the table.
Yeah, Suchi's gonna get mad at you.
He's about tapping.
And then there's the one where Hawkeye and Black Widow are in the spaceship and like. One of them says we're a long way from Budapest, which is a reference to
the first Avengers
movie. And there's just so many of those peppered into the movie.
It's crazy.
Peppered.
That's the right word.
So, and you said you said your fan service was also 5?
Yeah, I also gave it a 5 out of 5.
Then for extended continuity, I gave it a 5 out of 5.
I gave it a 4.
Oh!
Why'd you... I think we both know why we gave it a 5 out of 5, but why did you take a point off?
Honestly, I just, like... I was like, what? It's hard to follow it sometimes.
Right.
I think that's what made the continuity kind of weird to me. Especially because, like, the change of characters, too.
Yeah.
I think that's the other thing that kind of made it. Especially with Thor and Hulk. But I think it was cool, but I think continuity-wise, like, it was kind of weird to follow.
Mm-hmm.
I get that.
I understand that. I definitely understand the characters thing, because you have Hulk and Thor just make like pretty much 180s.
Which was
kind of jarring.
I'm also speaking on the Fortnite thing. Mm-hmm. I'm also really worried. John Wick 3 Parabellum comes out tomorrow, right, on the 17th.
Right.
And they just added John Wick's house onto the Fortnite map, so like. I just know that Fortnite's going to be in that movie.
Yeah.
I just know it. Because, like, that's what they did with Avengers, too. Like, they added, like, Avengers, like, skins.
Why is Fortnite so popular?
I don't know, dude.
I don't get it.
But, like, I'm just worried it's going to date these movies so much.
That's a big thing. It's going to be dated like crazy.
Because, like, it's not good to have, like, pieces of pop culture, like, so prominently in movies.
Well, like, what back in the day... was like kind of like I guess the only thing I can think of is like the in Back to the Future like time travel wise movies is like the shooting game that he plays in the bar,
right?
But like that doesn't really date it. I feel
sometimes
like.
There's some movies that like I think it was like Beethoven or something. They were playing Mario Brothers or something like that. Just those little
right.
I get
and you'll
that.
Just be like, wow, that's from like 2018, 2019.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And which is weird too because like in some movies they do this on purpose to make it seem dated.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know mid-90s. Purposely made that was the point of the movie.
Yeah.
Well, my friends
thought that was shot in the 90s.
Well, the difference is I think it's different when you're trying to replicate like a past time period. Whereas, like, in this movie, they're doing, like, the current time, you know?
Yeah.
True.
So,
very true.
Let's go on to future film setup. I gave it a 4 out of 5, and my rationale behind that...
I did, too.
...was, like, I thought they did a good job, but I feel like, one, the time... I feel like they opened a lot of doors, like, having, like, Thor go with the Guardians of the Galaxy, and they just, like, by bringing all these characters together... in this movie, like, pretty much a lot of them for the first time, I think you get the opportunity in the future to, like, combine a lot of them and get these interesting movies.
Yeah, like
but
crossing them over and everything.
Mm-hmm. But my one worry is about the 5 years thing. I feel like that's going to make, and also having, like, because of the snap, the people that got unsnapped... are 5 years younger than the people that were alive during that time.
It's super inconsistent.
Yeah, so, like, I feel like those two things, having it be 5 years in the future and having half of the population be 5 years older, is just going to make things, like, so weird for future movies.
You're right. Like, when Peter Parker went to school and his, like, friend was
still there, the same.
I'm just thinking, like, did he get dusted? Is he still the same age? Is, like, half of his school just doesn't exist anymore?
Yeah,
is that
just, like, a new class of kids? Like, what?
It's so bizarre. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be really cool, though, if they made a movie, like, called The Dusting or something like that, and they made it about, like, what happened.
Right, during that time. Well, they've got a bunch of Disney Plus TV shows.
Oh,
so Disney Plus is Disney's streaming service that they're launching this fall. And they're making some Marvel shows to go on it. They're making a Hawkeye one. They're also making a Loki one.
Oh, that's good.
And apparently a Scarlet Witch one. Huh. Oh, and the other one... So the Loki and Scarlet Witch ones are rumored. But I think after Loki's sort of thing that he did, how he teleports... after how he teleports away, I think they definitely set up him to be in like some future thing. So, and then the other one is apparently we're gonna get a Falcon Winter Soldier show, which is
oh,
just gonna
be.
Show? Yeah, so, I mean, I guess at this point it's a Captain America Winter Soldier show, so that'll interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting, but, like, at this point, a lot of...
I gave it a two.
You gave it a two. I just want to say, before Hayden goes ahead and tells us why he chose 2 out of 5, that is a big thing for me, which I actually... I'm even thinking of, like, bumping it down another. Like, the whole television thing, it's going to be a whole lot
I'm super worried
to, like, keep
tie it all in. Because it hasn't worked in the past.
Dude, it's like the Clone Wars.
Yeah. Yeah. It just makes it way
I never watched that.
I didn't watch that as a kid either. To.
Well, it... Yeah.
And I love Star Wars.
It's just, like, it's so... Yeah.
It hasn't worked in the past because...
I mean, who knows? Maybe they could...
Because they've always been in partnership with, like, another studio, but now it's Disney, which owns Marvel, and Marvel working together on them. Mm-hmm. And I also heard that these are going to have significant budgets so that they can be more in line with the quality of the movies.
Yeah, I just...
But they have to, like, create, like, an interesting, like, balance. Because I feel like some of the... Like, the movies are, like, necessary. Like, I want to watch every movie so I can understand it.
Right.
But I'm not gonna have to watch every TV show, you know.
That's what I'm saying. Like I already have kind of a difficult time keeping up with every single film.
Right.
You know, like I think I've seen like half of them or something. There's there's definitely a few where I just like I only know Ant-Man because of Civil War and Endgame. I've never seen an Ant-Man movie before.
I don't think you need to.
Exactly. No. That's what I'm saying.
He goes small.
Real quick, I gave it a 2 because more difficult honestly, they just killed it. Like, it's done. I don't want to watch any more of these. I'm ready for the next biggest, the new superheroes to come in. And until that happens, like, I don't really see myself, like, looking forward to another Avengers or, like, a Hulk-related thing, you know? Like, I feel like if I want to watch something about Hulk, I'll just go watch the Hulk movie. I'll just go watch the old Thor movies. Like, I'm not going to be looking forward to something new, I don't think.
Right.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, so you want to go on to action set pieces?
Yeah, go into action set pieces. The next block just started. I think it's fine if we keep going. We have a film class, which we probably should be at, but, you know, we're in the middle of this. I don't want to make this too, like...
Segmented.
Segmented, because we're going to have more... Yeah. We're going to have something segmented later, which we will get into.
Yep. So, action set pieces. I have lunch right now, so I don't care. Action set pieces, special. I gave a 4 out of 5 because I liked all of them.
I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
I also gave it a 4 out of 5.
I liked all of them, and, like, I really liked the first, like, the initial fight that, like, was Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor against Thanos. That. Just was so well choreographed.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Like, it was one of the best like Marvel fight scenes I've seen.
It was so cool.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of like...
Well, it wasn't really like a fight scene. It was like a he's getting destroyed scene. Like,
yeah.
I didn't even know if it was getting destroyed, but yeah, he was getting ganged up on.
Yeah, like he didn't really have a chance.
It reminded me of the scene from, was it Civil War, where Iron Man or Tony was getting beat up by Cap and Bucky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Where it's 2v1. Yeah, that was, I see that now.
Yeah,
too.
It looked really, I don't know why, but it just, that, the pan, slow pan backwards just looks really cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'll tell you right now, the only reason I gave it a 4 and not a 5 is because of the political thing at the end there.
Oh, the
feminism.
Yeah.
Which we can talk about.
Okay.
I just think it was so unnecessary.
I'll get into that because I have a rewrite for it. So, I thought it was unnecessary for like a few reasons. Some people are calling it the A-Force moment because I guess there's like a comic that's like Avengers but all women.
Okay.
So, I don't really know about that, but let me get into my rewrite. Let me just find it.
Like, I appreciate it. I understand feminism, but like... Like, why do you need to bring that equality into that movie?
Well, it wasn't even that. It was more like it was kind of jarring to see it in the film.
It felt forced.
Like, I actually would be kind of fine with it if it didn't feel so forced. I honestly would have been like, you know, this is
what
it's
like. Sure. Right, you got Batman, and you got Dark Knight Rises, terrorism, inequality. Then you're going to make Avengers about women rights. Like,
so,
well, it's not really...
So, let me get into my thing about it.
It just felt unnecessary for the movie.
For a few reasons, which I'll say right now. So here are my problems and my potential solution. Obviously, it's too late, but... I have a few problems with this scene. One, I don't think Captain Marvel earns that moment.
Yeah.
She has like less than 10 minutes of screen time, first of all.
Yeah.
And two, she doesn't really do anything in the movie other than like serve as like Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah.
Like she blows up the spaceship right before that. I'll get into that in a second. And she also saves Iron Man and Nebula at the beginning. So like pretty much the two things she does in the movie is just to like further the plot.
Yeah, just to make it convenient for
yeah. Which bothered me because they made it seem like she was going to be like a big part of the movie, and then she's absent for the whole movie.
Yeah, like that one scene where Thor grabs the hammer before he becomes fat. Thor,
yep.
He gets the hammer like. Is it a hammer? It's like an axe.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like the axe hammer, whatever. Yeah, it comes flying towards him. They put this in like a teaser, and
yep.
She just stands there like unfazed. And she's like,
yeah.
And he's like, I like this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It like. Whatever that, I just sound like
yep.
a geek there reciting every single line.
Khan's a freaking nerd.
Yeah, I'm a nerd.
So, yeah, and then my other problem is that she doesn't need any of their help. Like, like I said, she just destroyed an entire spaceship by herself just by flying through it. Like, does she really need help from like the Wasp?
No.
Like, come on. Like,
she could fly
through all of those people.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And so...
It just felt completely unnecessary.
Yeah. So, here's my solution to this. I would...
Is that supposed to be a part of the game?
That's different. We'll get into that later. I would replace... Instead of having Captain Marvel have this moment, I would have Nebula have this moment. And I think it's clear that they needed like a female for this, like running back kind of scene, I guess. And Nebula is the only female character other than Black Widow who freaking died, who like gets real character development in this movie.
I thought you were about to say like Nebula is the only other girl that died.
No, nope.
They're just gonna finish it. Yeah,
no, I mean she kind of does though.
Yeah,
time travel stuff is confusing.
In a way, yeah, it was. It's not. it's confusing.
Secondly,
Nebula was great in this movie.
Yeah. Secondly, Nebula does need the help. She's like, I don't even know what her powers is. She's just like an assassin.
Yeah.
Like she can't fly through an entire army, so like she definitely would need the help of these women. And
I think they mostly did it because Captain Marvel's the most easily recognized female.
And then
the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I've got two more reasons why this works. Ready? Number three, I think that this could be like a fun, if they wrote it right, it could be like a good callback to that scene earlier in the film when in 2014 when Gamora and Nebula are fighting on the ship and Nebula gets knocked down and Gamora says how like Nebula never asks for her help but always needs it. And I think they could like introduce that and have like Gamora like help her here and like call back to that.
It would look way less political if you did it that way.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. If you make it like not so forced, if you make it in the context of the movie and like maybe you could reference something from the past, like you just said, it doesn't feel as
more feminist.
And then finally,
totally fine.
This justifies the whole feminist thing. Like for Nebula's whole life. The only other, like, woman in her life has been Gamora, who's, like, competed with her and caused her pain. So it'd be, like, a really empowering moment for Nebula if she had, instead of, competing with all these women, have all these women, like, supporting her in a way that she's, like, never experienced before.
Nice job, Hayden.
Not bad.
So there's my...
It's a callback to the first podcast.
That was me, wasn't it? That we had like a nut or like a bolt or something. Oh. I just totally dropped it. But I think that rewrite would make the women empowerment scene a lot better and a lot more justified.
Yeah.
So.
It could have been. Yeah.
Back to our Marvel movie rating.
That's enough on that topic.
My overall is a 45 out of 50 or a 90%.
Hold on, I gotta look. I got another 91% out of that. Like, which wasn't intentional.
Mine
was 45.5 out of 50. You got an 80?
Yeah, because I gave them a 2 on...
Oh, yeah. That'll do it.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, wait. Okay, so we have a 45.5.
45 out of 50. 45.
Out of 50.
Yeah.
That's 45. And what was yours again, Hayden?
Hold on one sec.
That's not an answer.
42.
And then divide that by 150.
That's not how you do.
Yes, it is.
Oh, wait, yeah, you're right. Yes, quick, yes. I was thinking of an average. I was thinking of the other way.
88. Our overall score. Pretty good. Marvel score is 88. We didn't actually do an overall regular movie score. Do you want to do that, too?
They like understand.
That, I feel like that would take longer.
I don't care enough. Watch the movie or don't watch it. If you've seen Marvel movies, you've probably already seen this movie. And if you haven't, you probably shouldn't watch this movie because you will be confused.
Yeah.
But
I'll definitely watch Infinity War before this.
Yeah, but that with that said, I think even though this Marvel movie might not be right for you, some Marvel movies that I would suggest are Black Panther, because it's just a really good movie, Thor Ragnarok, and Guardians of the Galaxy 2, because they're hilarious.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. I recommend Guardians of the Galaxy.
And Spider-Man Homecoming, because I just think it's got a very good and heartwarming message and story.
I just say Guardians of the Galaxy, man. Just watch that movie.
But it's up to you. Watch whatever movies you like.
Yeah, really. Pick and choose your favorites. Yeah. Iron Man. Some of the old, Iron Man's a great movie,
Iron Man's a classic. Iron Man's started it off.
Yeah, so. Which we have not talked about.
It is amazing.
Iron Man dying.
Yeah.
Oh, we should talk about like how we think it's a tribute to Stan Lee.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so, yeah.
Last thing before we jump into our other last thing.
Yeah, so I've got a few more things to talk about.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Not even close to last thing yet. Unfortunately.
Sorry.
Stop. Just put it down. Here.
Our buddy who started it all off, Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, dies in this movie. And I thought it was a really good death. Because
I actually agree.
Even though that sounds messed up to say, I thought it was like the perfect ending to his arc. And his final words, when he snaps his fingers, he says, "I am Iron Man."
That was the only kind of iffy thing.
All right, so I thought that at first, but then I realized what they meant by having him say that. And so basically, it sounds super corny when he says it.
Hey, man, it's the first.
It is a superhero movie.
It's a superhero movie. He's the first character in this entire franchise.
Well, that's also a callback to 2008, too.
Yeah, so it's a callback to the first movie, but it's also, I think it's like
his last
him.
Iron Man.
All right, hold on. You ready for this?
Go ahead.
Here's my thinking.
I'm ready.
So at the throughout the Marvel movies, you have him sort of trying to like get out of the game, right? So you have in Iron Man 3, right? He destroys all of his suits and shows Pepper that he's more than Iron Man, but also that Iron Man's a part of him. It's not a suit. It's who he is.
Literally, it's in his heart is made of
the thing
that powers his suit.
But he also tries to show Pepper that he doesn't want to be Iron Man forever and that he wants to live a regular life. And then we continue on to Spider-Man Homecoming, where he sort of gets this, like, this paternal side to him, where he's sort of like being like sort of a father figure to Peter Parker. And it shows that he doesn't show up as Iron Man in this movie, really. He just shows up as a counselor to Peter Parker. And then at the beginning of Infinity War, he has just gotten married to Pepper Potts, and he is talking to her when he's on this walk right before he gets ripped away. And he said how he has had a dream about having a child and how like he wants to retire from being Iron Man, but then the world needs his help. And then that repeats in this movie. So you have, they kill Thanos, it doesn't work, and he retires from being Iron Man. Mm-hmm. He's like, it's done, there's nothing more I can do, I'm gonna live with my family. And he does that. He lives with Pepper and Morgan for 5 years. And then this time travel thing comes up. And although he wants to say no so badly,
he discovers that he has the power to change
everything. And he's Iron Man. He's a hero. So, like, as much as he wants to live this life, he knows that he'll always, something will always be calling him back to, like, try and save people. Because that's
his obligation.
It's what he does, you know? Yeah. It's who he is. And so, although, like, he wants to stay with Pepper, he realizes that, like, he needs to, like, save people in order to be, like, who he is. So when he dies at the end of the movie and he says, "I am Iron Man," he's accepting that, like, this was the only way he was going to go. He was going to die as Iron Man because there was no, like, world in which he would just retire.
Like,
you know?
In all the movies, too, like, people think he looks kind of arrogant, but to me it looks like he's just confident.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, he's just very confident in his abilities. Even, like, when when Pepper came down, he's like, oh, I figured it out.
Yeah, well, and he also...
True. And it wasn't, like,
He grows much more humble throughout the movies.
Yeah.
So, like... In, like, the first Iron Man, he's, like, kind of a...
He is arrogant in the first
Iron Man. He definitely is, but, like, his character grows so much, and he becomes so wise.
Yeah, he's maturing.
And he becomes a father, and et cetera, et cetera.
And you know, like, it also kind of... He's Peter Parker's Uncle Ben moment now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Basically, for the next Spider-Man movie.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I think you're right.
Which, I mean, some way, I guess they could have given that a little bit more...
Yeah,
it's screen time, but at the same time,
Far From Home is going to be about.
Because
it's sort of like most of that movie looks like it's about living in a post Iron Man, post Snap world.
Yeah,
so that one I'm really excited for, because not only is it going to put things away, like sort of wrap up the things from Endgame, but it's also going to set the precedent for what the next. Phase of Marvel movies is going to
look
like.
Is it a phase?
Like.
What is it? It's a
so,
saga.
No, they do phases.
Is it phase?
Yeah,
no,
so...
They do, like, each thing. There's a thing.
This will... Far From Home will be the end of Phase 3.
Okay.
And then they'll go into Phase 4.
But I think this is... The Phases 1 through 3 is, like, the Infinity Saga or whatever.
Right. Yeah, now they're going to start a new saga, too. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm curious to see what that's about. Mm-hmm. I just remember seeing... when I saw Iron Man die, I was just like, wow, that's super cool.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so glad they finished off this character.
In such a good way.
Good way. I didn't want him to be like, just, because after this movie, honestly, he wouldn't even be good.
Yeah, well, and they wouldn't be able to find a way to, like, make him exit from the movies as well as this one.
Yeah.
Because it's just so meaningful.
Mm-hmm. Same goes for, like, Cap's.
I agree with that.
Exit.
Yeah.
Hey, what were you saying about Stan Lee?
All right, so here's my theory that I was thinking about.
Yeah.
So the funeral scene, right? Of course, in 2018, Stan Lee passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the last movie that he has a cameo in because it was shooting while he was still alive. And so, like, this is sort of like their farewell to him because, like, he's... no longer with us. And so, like, I think, although, of course, that funeral scene was a funeral for Iron Man, like, it was sort of also, like, their funeral for, like, Stan Lee.
Yeah.
It was, like, all of the characters that he created and brought to, like, this universe are sort of sending him off as well.
That was a great scene where the camera just pans through every single...
Yeah, group, I love that.
You know, like, the Guardians, Thor, Hulk, everybody. And the kid from Iron Man 3.
Yep.
The kid, he was... all grown up. Although there was one thing I noticed the first time I watched it. The little kid, I can't remember if it was Hawkeye's family. I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
The little kid, I'm almost positive he looked at the camera as it was panning away.
Oh, yeah, you said that while I was saying this. You looked at the camera.
Yeah, the little kid looked at the camera. But honestly, it was just like, that's such a minor thing.
Yeah.
I'm surprised I caught that.
Speaking of Hawkeye. I have a Hawkeye rewrite also that I'd like to talk about.
Okay, we're running kind of low on time. We are so close to the hour mark.
Are we?
Yeah.
Really?
59 minutes. Well, at least mine says 59 minutes.
And we still
seconds.
Have to,
Mine says 35 minutes.
35 minutes?
Yeah.
Are you sure it didn't?
I have no idea.
All right, well, we work with
what
we got.
It is 59 minutes. Why does it say 35 up there? Maybe it's, like, lagging or something. I don't know. All right, let me just talk about this quick Hawkeye thing.
Okay.
And then get to our guests.
Yeah.
So, Hawkeye, my Hawkeye rewrite, I think, like, this was the first movie where Hawkeye's actually, like, interesting
mm-hmm.
and, like, a cool character, and his haircut's freaking sick. But, and actually, fun fact, you know when he is with his daughter in the first scene and they're practicing shooting the bow and arrow?
Yeah, he calls her Hawkeye.
That is the first time that a character in the MCU is referred to as Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
They have said Hawkeye before, but I can't remember.
They've called him the Hawk, and they've said Bird's Nest.
Okay.
But they've never said Hawkeye.
I'm really glad they never gave him that stupid outfit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Apparently this is where he's supposed to have like some purple outfit with like an H on his forehead.
So my one problem with Hawkeye in this movie is that when Black Widow comes to see him, he says yes immediately. And I feel like after what they like built him up, like he was so like in despair that like it seemed like uncharacteristic of him to say yes immediately. Especially after he told Black Widow not to like give him false hope. And then he just immediately says yes right after saying that. So here's how I would change this. I would take the opening scene where Hawkeye's family gets dusted, and I would make it either at the end of Infinity War or a post-credit scene in either Ant-Man and the Wasp or Captain Marvel. And then,
okay,
in place of that scene, I think that does a few things. If you put it in Infinity War, that it's world building, because it's showing the dusting happen in places other than like Titan or Wakanda.
But they use that for Nick Fury's dusting in Infinity War.
And so, I would move it, and then the scene that I would put at the beginning is a Ronin movie, or a Ronin scene. So like when he's like samurai. Fighting, murdering people.
What? Who's Ronin?
He's Hawkeye when he's got the sword out.
Oh, he's called Ronin?
Yeah, that's like his character's name. So basically, I would put at the beginning of this movie, I would have him go on a mission and like murdering people and being sick and whatever, just like that scene that we had in Japan.
But a little bit more in depth.
Yeah, more in depth. Maybe like go through like the whole mission with him, show how like the world has changed with the snap. And then at the end of the mission, Captain America comes and says, hey, and this is the initial one, right? This is to kill Thanos. This is before the 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Clint says no because for like a few reasons. One, he doesn't think that it'll solve their problem. Two, he thinks that Captain America is too hopeful, right? Captain America is like the symbol of hope and like America and stuff. And he just thinks that Captain America is being... naive.
Yeah.
And then third,
ironic.
This can be sort of like a callback to Civil War. Like Hawkeye could be mad that Captain America put him in that ankle monitor, right? Because he helps out Captain America with the Civil War thing, and then gets house arrest.
That's right.
And maybe he's like, you know, maybe if I didn't help you. And I wasn't stuck in my house, I'd be able to, like, keep my family from dying or something.
I can't really participate in this because I have no idea what you're talking about because I've seen, like, none of the movies.
Have you ever seen Civil War?
Yeah.
Okay. Most of this is from Endgame.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, and then I would, Hawkeye would go back to murdering people, and then we'd get that same Black Widow scene, pretty much.
Let me jump into that.
Yeah, and then this time she's telling him about the time travel solution, and it's different that now that she's coming and not Captain America, because she's somebody that he can trust,
mm-hmm.
and also he can tell how desperate she is and how much she needs this.
I guess that would also make the scene where she dies
more meaningful, because they have that, yeah.
Because I honestly thought, I was still like, oh, geez, she's dead now.
Well,
it felt a little less meaningful than I thought it would, to me at least.
It was meaningful for me until it got to that scene of them on, like, that dock, all of the Avengers together afterwards. That made it feel less meaningful. I don't know why, but...
It was just weird.
Yeah. So...
A little bit out of place, but it's still, you know, it was a pretty good send-off for...
Anyway, up next, we're going to have some guests.
We would end it right here, but we've got a little bit. Something special.
Other Devil's Advocate correspondents are going to be coming on.
That's a good way to put it.
Talking about what they thought of the movie a few other things. Maybe we even have a game to play. So we will be right back.
Looking forward to it.
Yep.
Peace.
All right, we're back.
What's up?
Hayden's here too. He didn't say anything. And we're here with two guests. We're here with
Thomas Vallone.
Yep.
And Connor Rolnick.
Yeah, two fellow Devil's Advocate correspondents. Shout out to Miss Such for letting them come on here and talk about Avengers Endgame.
Thank you, Miss Such.
Great lady. All right, so with you guys today, we're going to talk about some ratings and maybe play a little game.
Oh, word game.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess we'll just start with your ratings if one of you wants to start.
Yeah, so should I just go through them?
Yeah, yeah, just explain your thought process a little bit.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll go back and forth. So production, I gave it a 9 out of 10. I thought it was almost perfect, but there were some small details that personally I would have like changed.
I gave it an 8.5 out of 10, just because, like, I don't know if it was at that 9 level, really, because I feel like they could have done, like, some better things with the scenes, like, just made them look better, in a sense. Like, the final battle, I think there were some things they could have done to make it look cooler.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because we all said
the same thing
as well,
yeah. Yeah, I thought there was parts that were just a little slow compared to
other movies.
Yeah, that were just faster, more action-packed.
Right.
For the storytelling, I gave it a 9 out of 10. I just thought they did a really good job, like, tying everything together almost, because, like, it is the last one, and, like, they really brought every character almost full circle, in a sense, yeah. Like, of the main four, so.
I gave it a 7 out of 10, actually. There were some things that they did with characters that angered me.
What was that?
Yeah, go for it.
Thor being fat and Hulk being, honestly, pretty lame.
Yeah, we didn't like those either.
Yeah, the office.
I mean, they had Hulk in the first two Avengers being an absolute beast. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And Thor's movie was an animal.
And Thor was an absolute animal in the Avengers before this, too. And they were both, in a sense, lame. So that was frustrating. But
you think there's, like, a reason they did that? Or?
I think that, I don't know, I really don't know why they did it with Hulk. But for Thor, I think he's been, like, so powerful and the same for so long, you know what I mean? That they wanted to change it up, and that's what they decided to do. But
I think the Hulk thing was because, like, for all the comic book people out there, all the Hulk's, like, comic books, he has, like, two personalities almost in it. Like, it shows both. And I think they were doing that for the final movie just for those comic book people. Like, they really wanted to see him more intelligent in a sense, as Hulk.
It could correlate with a Hulk standalone film, too, but... Yeah. I would think if there was a standalone Hulk film, it would come before this.
Really?
Right.
A standalone Hulk film that we've had kind of sucked.
Yeah, it was awful.
It was like my least favorite.
Right.
They finally got, like, the animation and CGI right for it, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it looks better now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Mark Ruffalo is the actor,
too. It used to be hard for a Hulk film to stand alone just because, like, he had zero personality.
But also, just, like, the... Like, effects were just terrible in, like, the 90s and early 2000s and stuff, so it was definitely difficult. But I think, for me, what, like, I found it as for the reason that they did, like, Smart Hulk is that, like, just, like, they needed him to be, like, both. And so, like, this was the most convenient way to, like, have him work within the story.
Yeah, just to get the plot kind of
further. Because, like, he needed to do the time travel stuff, but, like, he also kind of needed to fight Thanos or whatever, so...
Yeah.
Even though he didn't really do that much fighting.
I mean, like, his one thing was his, like, getting everybody back. And, like, they needed somebody that strong to do it and not die.
Right.
So
it's insane.
Couldn't have Mark Ruffalo do that.
For casting, I feel like I had to give it a 10 out of 10. It just literally had everybody in it. It was hard not to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. I gave it a 10 out of 10 just because it had all the characters.
Yeah.
And brought some characters back from other movies.
I didn't think would be in it. Like, Valkyrie, I didn't think would be in it. Just because, like, she hasn't been big in Avengers movies ever.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and it brought a couple of people back from Black Panther, too, which was cool, including, like, the sisters area or whatever, so that was nice.
Mm-hmm.
For fan service, I gave it a 5 out of 5. I think that it really did finished off the trilogy or whatever, or the four movies, you know what I mean? It did it justice. Thought Captain America getting the hammer was unreal.
And the movie showed that, like, yeah, watching it with everybody. And just so excited when that happened. Oh,
yeah. Just like the one-liners, like we were talking about that, like from Captain America, like I can do this all day, like you said, like that just goes full circle too. Yeah. You know what I mean? And fans realize that. So
I gave it a 4 just because like there were some fans that are like hardcore people, like for certain characters that just didn't like how they did it. In a sense, like with,
right,
with
like Thor. Back to the Thor and the Hulk thing.
And then for like the extended, like how they're gonna continue with stuff. I gave it a 5. I just thought they set up like more movies really well. But I don't know how they would come, like they'd have to do more individual movies first, like another group thing probably won't happen for a while. Yeah. If they ever do one.
I think Avengers is like non existent from this point. So
yeah.
Yeah. I gave it a 4 out of 5 just because the characters that are part of the Avengers or have built up the Avenger franchise those are the best characters in my opinion. Now you have more like the Ant-Man,
second tier guys,
the second tier guys. You know what I mean?
It definitely set up like another Guardians of the Galaxy though.
Just definitely with Thor. That'll be interesting. I'm excited to see.
Yeah, and it's just, I guess I find less interest in those characters than I do in the ones that have been through it all, started from the beginning. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. But as of right now, I gave it a 4 out of 5. So, and then future film setup.
We just kind of did that one.
Yeah, we just kind of did that one.
We'll give the action scene. I gave it a 4 out of 5. I feel like they could have had more. Mm-hmm. In a sense, like the final battle, it was pretty cool. Like everything was dope. Like the Spider-Man scene was, when he got the Infinity Gauntlet, was sick. But like, I feel like there could have been more action in a sense. I like the Captain America fight against himself. That was like really
cool. That was good.
Yeah.
That was sick.
Yeah, I give it a 4 out of 5 too. I think at some points it was a little slow.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. It's a 3-hour movie and they have to set up everything. Mm-hmm. I thought the way that they did set it up was cool. But the last battle almost made up for all the slowness from the beginning because it was really pretty intense. And I found it really interesting. The theater was on their feet almost the whole time, clapping.
That's right. You guys watched this on premiere day, right?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah,
because
you
guys got like the raw reactions from the whole crowd.
We saw it, I think, the Sunday or Monday.
It was like a week
after it came out. Yeah, so we didn't get quite the same reaction from the fans that you guys did.
Yeah, we had no spoilers or anything. So
it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like with that, what do you guys think of the controversial moment there with the political
our stuff feminist moment? Yeah, we talked about this a lot.
I feel like it was. Like for a feminist side of it, it was cool for them. Like they all got to see all the women fight together. But I don't know if it was necessary. It like kind of almost took away from the movie.
That's what we said.
If you just showed them all fighting separately, it would have done the same thing.
Right.
It almost wouldn't have caused the controversy. Almost. From the story,
I'm not gonna get into my whole thing because I talked about it for a while. But I talked about how I think that scene would have been better. If, like, instead of having Captain Marvel, like, get the gauntlet, it should have been, like, Nebula or somebody that actually, like, needed the help from all those characters.
True.
Because, like, Captain America just blew up an entire spaceship.
Captain Marvel.
Oh, my gosh.
Sure she could have, like, fought off most of that army by herself.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, it was definitely weird. Especially, it seems like they're almost overcompensating at this point.
Yeah.
Because, like, they just had their first, female lead. Mm-hmm. Superhero movie, and then there's going to be the Black Widow one soon, too.
Yeah, they're going back in time for that one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I feel about what they did to her.
The haircut.
Haircut pissed me off.
Yeah.
Are we going to add up their scores, or...?
Oh, yeah. So, add them up out of 50. See what you guys get.
I'm going to take a little bit.
Yeah.
Right here. Behind the scenes.
Short commercial break.
What are we going to do with it?
I think you should sing for the folks at home.
Yeah, that's never happened.
Yeah.
All right.
So out of 50?
Yep.
45 out of 50.
I have a 45.5 out of 50.
So 91.
Yeah.
All right. You guys want to tell them what you guys did?
I had a 91 for both ratings.
I had a 90. I had a 90.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, yeah, so pretty.
We're all pretty even.
Yeah,
I just remember what I got.
didn't write it down. All right, I mean, doesn't remember.
Somewhere in the podcast, you'll know.
If you're listening to this at home, you know, just rewind like 40 minutes. You'll figure it out. It's a long one.
Good lord. Are we going into the game now?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right,
so this podcast has
sponsorship there.
I wish, dude.
Sponsored by
Blue Apron. Just kidding. I definitely can't say that.
Cut that out.
Yeah.
We actually got a grant from Marvel for this.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to disclaim that. So there's a recurring theme of unrecurring segments on this podcast where I come up with an idea and then we never use it again. But today I've got this game.
<It's> so true.
I've got this game called Superhero Swaps.
Ooh.
And it's kind of like Would You Rather.
Right.
And it's about how a bunch of characters... basically, like, my thought process behind this was... In Infinity War, half of the universe got dusted, right? Taken out so that they wouldn't be in this movie until, like, the end, obviously. And so the Russo brothers said that they spent a ton of time figuring out which characters should get dusted and which ones should stay alive so that they could star in Endgame. And so I'm just wondering if there are any changes, any superheroes that should have... not been dusted, instead been in this movie more prominently. And so one rule is that I didn't want to do any characters from the original Six Avengers. So no Captain America, Iron Man, Hawkeye, Thor, Hulk, or Black Widow. Those are all givens because they just have like too much in this movie.
Yeah.
But so the first one is, should Drax be swapped in for War Machine?
No. I mean, he has, like, a role because of Thanos and his hatred for him. But I just feel like his personality and, like, his role in the movie, it wouldn't have changed anything almost. And it would have only, like, distracted from the storytelling, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that. The movie went for... I mean, it's still, like, there was humor in it, but, like, Drax is just, like, the epitome of humor in his scenes.
And so I feel having like... War Machine in it, being Iron Man's best friend...
Right, it just
balances out, especially because Iron Man dies.
So. Yeah, I think that they really went for the Iron Man like losing people that he really cares about idea, because as you know, Iron Man caring about people has grown throughout the franchise, and like going for Spider-Man and War Machine, like that just adds on, like that was an emotional piece, emotional factor. So,
next one, Black Panther and Okoye. So Okoye survives and Black Panther gets dusted.
Who is that again?
Okoye is the bald fighter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Personally, I love Black Panther, so I wanted him to be in it more, to be honest with you. And I just feel like it would have built his character.
Same.
Because especially if they're doing a Black Panther 2, building off of this movie would have made more hype for it, I guess, in a sense.
I mean, oh, nice job, Aiden.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, at least yeah. I think that it's a good thing that he wasn't in this movie, because he would have had to have more screen time.
Right.
And that would have just taken away from other characters. Ordeal.
Yeah, I think keeping it with like the original Avengers for the most part was really big. You know what I mean? Because it goes full circle. And as you know, like the Black Panther movies are a really big deal.
Yeah.
So no matter what, this next movie is going to be a massive production. And also, if he was still there and they were in Wakanda or had the opportunity, you know what I mean, to bring that back into play, like that just takes away from the other purpose, I think.
Right.
So I would keep it the way it is.
All right, and this final one is a big one. So this would change the movie a lot, but I'm wondering what you would think of this changed movie, in what ways, like, do you think this change would affect the larger movie? Should Peter Parker have lived and Pepper Potts died?
It would have changed the movie a lot, especially because with the new Spider-Man coming out, too, it really builds off this movie. And I feel like I like the sentimental like value of having Piper there, just because like it helped with the build of Iron Man and then his death. Like, that was a tearjerker for everybody, in a sense.
Yeah.
And like her coming... to fight in the last battle too was really sick, like just seeing her in an Iron Man suit, it was just cool to see, in a sense. So I like the idea of Spider-Man being there. I just don't know how it would play out,
right?
Especially because like there was already like a good amount of comedy in it, and like Spider-Man just being who he is,
right?
Yeah,
and Tom Holland being playing him, it just like would have added more, in a sense. So
Yeah. I think Spider-Man is the, like, most likable or most exciting, like, new character to the Avengers.
Definitely.
I could see, like, a lot of future movies. I mean, this next movie is going to be really big.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So people love him. And Iron Man, his relationship has grown over a couple movies now. So I think, like, having him be one of the people that died just made it even better. Now, if Pepper died, I think Iron Man would be a lot more likely to want to do something about it rather than kind of sit back and be like, I'm happy with my life. You know what I mean? I have a kid now, this and that. Like, obviously, they probably wouldn't have a kid. But he would be a lot more likely to try to go and do something without having, like, Captain America and all them have to come to him and kind of force him to do it or almost guilt him into doing it, considering he's the only one that knows how or is capable of it. So it would have been interesting, but though I think having Peter Parker die just created a more emotional aspect to it. So.
All right. Any more things that you guys thought about the movie that you'd like to get off your chest?
Yes, I want to ask you, what did you think about Thor?
Fat Thor?
Yeah.
Fat Thor.
He kind of bothered me.
Yes.
Yeah, because I really like Thor, and then, like, he was just kind of lame in this one.
Dude, there's no question that Thor is the best Avenger, and just head-to-head with Thanos, like,
he's got him. Well, because in Infinity War, too, like, he came super close.
Yeah, and his powers just keep improving, which we don't really see with everyone else.
And he gets, like, the new hammer, too.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, like...
And then he just plummets, and he's just like, I thought it was hilarious at parts. You know what I mean?
It was funny.
It was funny, but like, but I don't know. To some extent, you just
different comedy in it. Like, especially like when Iron Man figured out time travel, that scene was pretty hilarious.
Yeah,
he just like fell back. Not allowed to swear, so I'm not going to. But
you can quote what he said.
We're allowed to get PG-13 on these.
Yeah.
We'll leave it then.
But I don't know. Like, if you saw Thor Ragnarok or...
He just looks so dope in those movies.
I mean, he's awesome. His powers are awesome. But he's also hilarious still. Like, he doesn't need to be, like, fat to be hilarious.
Right.
Like, those, like, one-liners or when he doesn't necessarily understand, like, a joke. But he's, like, he's adapted so well to, like, coming from where he's, like, Asgard or whatever to,
like the people on Earth.
It's just different. But he's hilarious now. So I think, like... He probably wanted to change it up. I did see articles about that. He wanted to take a new direction with the role.
He's a really good actor. Just like
But like this is like this is the end. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you want him to be at his best.
Well, I think the one thing is just something about Fat Thor. I feel like that just works better with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, because it's more Guardians of the Galaxy is like a. Action comedy.
Yeah, and it's kind of like they're not like amazing, like athletes or anything.
They
like
need each other to be successful.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And so, like, having super powerful Thor with the Guardians kind of like what exactly?
Else.
Why does he need them? That was a funny bit at the end. Yeah, and then one thing that I was just thinking about like the other night was, and I don't know how like I thought of this. So Captain America decides to stay. With Agent Carter in the past, right?
Yeah.
But in the second and third Captain Americas, like, in the present day, he, like, meets her granddaughter.
Yeah, I know.
So, like, is that his granddaughter now?
I feel
or, like
just
does she just not exist in this new future?
Well, I thought, remember, Hulk said everything you saw about, like, time travel movies is wrong. So, like, the past doesn't actually affect the future.
Right.
So it just doesn't create, like, a different story almost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought it was cool what they did with Captain America in the end, too.
Yeah. I thought so, too.
So, does that mean that
Falcon's
the new Captain America?
That's interesting. So,
I guess so.
And they've said that... you know about Disney Plus, Disney's streaming service that they're making? So, they said that there's going to be a Marvel show about Falcon and the Winter Soldier coming out for that. So, like, I guess now it's new Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
We'd have to take the Super Serum, though.
Yeah, that's true. Like, he's not...
He's not Captain America.
Just because he can fly in some
cool
suit doesn't make him...
That's the other thing. Like, from the original Avengers to now, Captain America's powers, I don't know how it happened, but he is so much more powerful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean,
sometimes you just have to go with it, man. Sometimes you just...
It doesn't necessarily make sense, but I'm not arguing it.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining about it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's a
superhero movie. From, like, the Captain America First Avenger movie to Endgame, like, I don't know what happened.
No, right.
Well, like, one of the things...
Whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I rewatched Captain America: The First Avenger before I saw Endgame. Like, he doesn't, like, learn how to fight at all.
Yeah. No.
Like, just because he can run faster and jump higher doesn't mean that he's, like, this insane fighter.
He's fighting people.
Yeah.
Like, humans, soldiers, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And now he's, like, he's literally
aliens
stopping, like,
Thanos.
Thanos, his hand, bro, like a punch. Like, that doesn't happen. You know what I mean? But I'm not complaining about it because he's awesome.
Because super sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And, like, yeah.
That's superhero movies at the end of the day. They're just so
cool. Yeah.
What do you guys think of, like, the 5-year forward with the Fortnite moment?
That.
Like, they set the movie 5 years forward, but they're still playing Fortnite.
Yeah. That's going to date it so much.
I don't know. I mean, it was funny, but, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest,
just made Thor look stupid again.
Yeah.
This movie, I just wanted it to be just, like, epic, action-packed. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really care about the funny part, because Marvel always, like, gets
the
one-liners in there and makes it funny. But this, I felt like they were OD about it. You know what I mean? Like, they tried too hard for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hilarious, don't get me wrong. But, like, I just wanted it to be, like, action-packed.
Jeez.
Like,
it's the end.
And when they chopped off Thanos' head at the beginning,
that
was
sick.
I thought that was so cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was, like, I didn't understand. I was kind of, like, where are they going to
go with
this now?
Yeah, everyone was, like, shocked. Like,
yeah, I was like,
go from here?
What are you doing? You know what I mean? And, like, the storytelling was set up perfectly.
Yeah.
But I feel like it was a little too much on the funny side.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, when Tom and I went to see that together, we agreed with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It, like, there was parts where we looked at each other and we were like, when's this going to, like, pick up?
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So.
Like, an hour in, we're like, all right, it has to start getting better.
Yeah.
Soon.
Yes. And honestly, when I watched it the second time, I went 2 times in, like, the same weekend.
Yeah.
And it was better the second time. And, I did know what was happening, but I understood it better. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? Like,
yeah.
why
yeah.
they were doing this,
right.
why they were setting this up. So.
I get that.
Yeah.
One thing that, like, stuck with me was, like, I don't know if they should have brought Gamora back, in a sense.
Yeah.
But, like, with her coming back, it also changes all the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, too.
Oh,
because, like, Chris Pratt's character is different now. Like, he's not the same.
Wait, is she with them at the end?
Yeah.
No, she's...
Because
I thought she
went
on the ship.
I thought she got redusted.
Yeah, no, but then she got redusted?
Well, I think when he snapped away the Thanos' army, like, that, like, included her.
She joins
no,
his side,
no, she died from the soul thing. Remember? She killed her in the first
movie. No, I know. I'm talking about 2014 Gamora in this movie.
When they're on, like, the ship.
Yeah, because she initially comes with Thanos.
What is this even?
Yeah,
but then she, like, switches
saves
sides.
She's fighting, and then she, like,
yeah, she
yeah.
saves
yeah.
Nebula.
No, she also saves...
She saves Star-Lord, too.
Yeah, Star-Lord.
Yeah.
So
he was about to die,
Nebula,
and then she saved
before,
him.
Before they met up in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, I have to think about
but
that.
But it's also the other thing that's interesting about that, if she's still alive, because they kind of... I don't remember seeing her at the end, but, like, she probably is if she was there.
She saved Quill once.
Yeah.
I think she's still there.
Yeah, but, like, what's interesting, and, like, there's a scene where this happens, like, she doesn't know him yet because it's not, like, the same Gamora.
I remember her talking to Nebula, and she's like, this is the one you were talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just interesting, like, how that's going to...
Nebula is good.
Yeah.
It's, like, 50 first dates.
I thought when Nebula shot herself, it was pretty cool.
What?
Have you seen that movie?
Yeah.
All right. Adam Sandler. It's a movie about, like, Drew Barrymore getting, like, amnesia.
Yes, I did.
And so, like,
All right, sorry.
Yeah.
Might be.
So, kind of an obscure reference.
Yeah, that's a bit obscure.
It fits, though.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's
good.
All the time we have.
Well, thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thank you guys for coming on. I think Suchi's going to be proud of us for this one.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So that's what it's all about, really, you know, getting that good grade.
Exactly.
Should we just continue the...
finish
it right
this
here.
This is a wrap on our Avengers episode. This has definitely been one of our more...
ambitious.
Yeah, ambitious episodes. A lot of work went into this.
But we don't have many people watching.
Yeah. I mean, Avengers is anticipated, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know if that, like, transfers...
all of our 3 fans really wanted to hear this one.
No, dude, Anchor says we have 11 listeners.
Oh.
But, like, half of them are from Australia, so...
Oh, yeah, that's right. We have,
if you guys are from
Australian
Sydney,
things.
Shout out to you guys. We appreciate it.
Dude, that's awesome.
I think they probably just clicked on it accidentally. So, basically, from here on out, you know, the school year's starting to wind down a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to have another podcast.
I think I'd like to get one last one, you know, just a celebration of I don't know, podcast.
It'd be a recap of the movies of the year.
Yeah, maybe. That'd be fun.
And we could, like, make a tier list of all the movies we watched.
That'd be interesting. Or, yeah, compare our ratings from what we've made over there. Anyway.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah,
we'll figure out.
Yeah, don't worry about that, guys. We'll be back. famous last words. So, yeah, that's it. Thank you for listening. Thank you to our guests. Thank you for Miss Suchi for making this happen. And we'll catch you later.
Adios.
Yep.
Thank you.